This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Mark AmTower. Nobody else volunteered for the job. My guest, however, is Ed Swallow, the Vice President of Business Development for Civilian DOD. What's the official title?
Federal and Defense Technologies Division.
There you go. So you swing a bat. You haven't been here for a while, and probably a fair number of people know who you are. But I want to take a little bit of a drive down memory lane, if you will, because I have some purposes here. So I know you have degrees in physics and engineering. So at heart, you're a techie. So let's go back there and start there.
So first degree actually was in physics, minors in astronomy, and secondary education. Wanted to be a high school physics teacher. Couldn't
astronomy
find
astronomy must have been cool.
Oh yeah, very cool. Still is. But then needed to find a job, and high school teachers were not being recruited very heavily in the mid to late 70s. However, the Air Force was very interested in somebody with physics and astronomy, but they wanted me to get an electrical engineering degree. So they gave me a two-year scholarship to go to Syracuse University to go get the double E degree.
Not a bad school.
Me into the Air Force, got me into the space business. Low-altitude satellite operations, great run. What they wanted was a physicist with an astronomy background. What they had was a slot for an electrical engineer. So it was like it was built for me. So that got me out to Silicon Valley, and I lived out there for 17 years.
Holy cow.
5 years active duty in the Air Force, and then I went to work for a company that got bought by a company, Logicon. So worked for Logicon, ended up running their Northern California office. Left them to go to a small business called Space Applications Corporation in 94. Worked there, was a tech director. Became a division general manager, came back here to the East Coast to run business development for them. And then we got bought by Stephen Myers and Associates, the Proposal Consulting place. Worked for them for a couple of years. And then in 2001, when they sold all of the government services group to L3, I went to TASC.
Okay, cool. But during that process, there were a number of different organizations out in California that you became involved with. Let's look at the value of number one, the value of associations, but run through the organizations that you got involved with out there.
Well, the heavy duty organizations in the Northern California area, there was, of course, AFSEA. Mm-hmm. So I was involved with a local AFSEA chapter. There was the Air Force Association. They had a very strong chapter there in the Northern California area. But then there was also something called CAPR, California Aerospace Professionals Representative. It was a great organization, very locally focused, but we had monthly luncheons and bring in speakers from all across our customer set. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, we do a professional development lunch, but most of them, we're trying to bring in customers, mainly at the lieutenant colonel level. Very diverse group of companies. So mm-hmm. you had people that were focused in the energy, you know, with Livermore and Lawrence Berkeley Laboratories.
Right. Yeah.
Then you had the Moffett Sunnyvale Air Force Station contingency. Then you had the Navy guys up at Alameda. And so we had a real broad mix. We would meet in a little town right at the south end of the South Bay, no stoplight town right off of Milpitas Highway. Had a great time with that. Started an NSIA, National Security Industrial Association chapter, and then merged that with CAPR after a period of time. So I became president of that and did that for 3 years until I moved here to the East Coast.
Okay, and NSIA became NDIA.
Exactly.
With the merger of, I forget.
Merger of American Defense Preparedness Association and National Security Industrial Association.
Right.
So they became the National Defense Industrial Association. Came out here and immediately got on the chapter here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Great board. Got myself right into the thick of things. Took over the annual USO charity golf tournament. Ran that for a couple of years, and then they asked me to be in the officer group. So secretary, treasurer, skipped over second vice president to first vice president because of a vacancy, and then became president in 2004. So was chapter president for a year. Most desired title of all of them was immediate past president.
Gave you a little breathing space, did it?
Yeah, the only responsibility as immediate past president is you have to run the nominating committee for the next year and find the poor volunteer that wants to start in that officer chain to work their way up.
There you go. What's the value of participating in the professional associations? I mean, you know, there's a lot of networking things for BD people, for salespeople, for CEOs, but this was more of a frontline techie kind of gig.
Well, a lot of it was frontline techie. What I like, NDIA has a dual structure, so they have a chapter structure, mm-hmm. which is regionally focused, and then they have a division structure. So I'd been involved with, because of my involvement in Northern California in the NDIA, NSIA chapter, I got involved in the NDIA Space Division, so I ended up actually chairing that for 3 years. So that got me connected with all of the space geeks around the entire country. I did that for a good number of years until I moved out of the space side of the house.
And what kind of visibility did that give you?
Oh, phenomenal visibility. Every summer we would run a summer study for what used to be called Sync Space, now Commander of U.S. Space Command.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, I actually chaired the DDR&E Summer Study on Critical Workforce Issues in the Defense Industrial Base. So I got a chance to go in, you know, for the three, almost 4 years that I was running the Space Division, I could get in and see the four-star that was running Air Force Space Command, the four-star that was running U.S. Space Command. You know, I could go see the NORAD commander. I could go see very senior people in the administration over in the Pentagon. And I wasn't just going there to sell them something. I was going in there because I had something to offer them in terms of solving some of their technical problems and getting an industry perspective. And it's the ability to bring an industry group together and get them to provide an industry perspective that gives you tremendous credibility across across not only your competitors and competimates, but also with your customers. So when you do go in and you're looking at a particular opportunity for the company, people listen. They know that you've been there to help them solve their problem without a proprietary solution.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you think you can solve it with a proprietary solution, they listen to you, and you have tremendous credibility.
Then you can't buy that.
You can't buy it, and if you try and buy it, you lose it.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's one of those things. The more you try to get it, the farther it gets away from
you. Just keep slipping away. So dues must be paid, but there are huge benefits to those dues.
Absolutely. I've been involved in a lot of outside activities, what you would call outside activities, you mm-hmm. know, not directly core to my business. But I think that's given me a lot more insight as to the trends that are happening in the government, the trends that are happening in acquisition, so that, you know, to quote Wayne Gretzky, you don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where the puck is going.
Right.
I want to always know where the puck is going. And so having that larger vision. You know, you can sit around and navel gaze all day or sit around and interview each other around the table. But if all you're doing is interviewing everybody that's within your same little core at your same little company, you'll convince yourself that the hammer you've got in front of you is the brightest, shiniest hammer on the planet, and everybody's problem is a nail. You know, and until you really look up and look at what a customer's looking for and really have that bigger vision, and that's what networking gets you, is that bigger vision.
Well, this would also come into play when you're hiring BD people, and when you're getting reports from BD people. So you can see the fog starting to roll in. And
I don't get smoked very easily.
Right.
Just as importantly, you know, when I've got somebody coming in and trying to sell me something or trying to team with me, and I ask them, so from a customer's perspective, why would this customer say it's good for you to be on my team? You know, that's my acid test. When somebody comes into me and wants to pitch, it's why would my customer tell me it's a good idea for you to be on my team? And if they can answer that question and they can answer it credibly, that tells me they've done their homework and they understand what the customer is looking for.
There you go. You're listening to AM Tower Off Center on Federal News Radio. We'll be back with Ed after these messages. Welcome back to AM Tower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Ed Swallow of Northrop Grumman. He's the Vice President of Everything BD. So that's your new title.
Thank you. Appreciate the promotion.
Well, I mean, you can run through it again if you want, but just go back to the beginning of the show, listen to it again. Between the during the commercial, we were talking a little bit about the passion side of involvement in associations, and that's key. But take it further.
You know, a big part of I'm still involved in the National Defense Industrial Association, and even though a big part of what I do is in the federal civilian space, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of organizations like ACT-IAC and you know Tech America and those kind of things. We have a lot of people that cover those already, and I really have a passion around science, technology, engineering, mathematics. So with NDIA, I stayed with the STEM Workforce Division because that was my passion. And it's important because when you do when you get involved in these networking activities and you get engaged in doing a government project, you put a strategic plan together, you know, you do the vision document for ACT-IAC, you work on those things. If it's not your passion, people see immediately that you're only doing it because you're looking for access. You got to find the passion. You got to find the thing that really excites you about something and brings that passion to the table, because then you're going to be involved and you're going to put everything that you have into it, and your genuine concern for that particular subject comes through.
Yeah,
and that's when you build credibility.
Exactly. The credibility factor that comes in when you actually go meet with those people in the agencies and they know your passion is right there.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, that gets back to the adage that, you know, if they don't know you, they're not going to give you the contract.
Well, it's very hard to, you know, the over-the-transom business development model where, mm-hmm. you know, let's just go to Fed Biz Ops and answer every RFP that's out there, you know. You know, I joke about those as the, I have a diagram that has a red line and a blue line on it, and the red line starts at the draft RFP. You know, draft RFP comes out and everybody goes, oh, look, it's real. Let's do something. So the first thing you do is you look around for somebody that doesn't have a charge number and you put them in charge of going after it. You know, that's not the way to build business.
Right. So let's talk about two things, the way you build business, but primarily the way you build it by having your staff in all of the organizations that you're not involved in.
Absolutely, and we just finished doing a survey looking at all the different places that people are involved to make sure that we had everything covered. You know, and it's good to do that every once in a while, because encouraging everybody to follow their passion every once in a while can start looking like 5-year-olds playing soccer, you know, and everybody follows the same ball going over there, and nobody stays back in goal. So every couple of years, you got to do a course check and just make sure that everybody's kind of spreading the wealth around a little bit. But it's important to get all of them, because you don't know for any particular customer, you don't know which one of those things is going to be most important for them. And you don't know who's going to be able to develop those relationships the best. So, you know, no one person can have great relationships across the entire federal civilian government, which is pretty much the territory that's in my portfolio. You know, I have a little bit of defense and air and missile defense. I have health IT, including defense. Mm-hmm. But pretty much the federal civilian government writ large is my customer set. There's no way I can build relationships at all those places. And there's no way any one person on my team, any account manager, can really say, oh, yeah, I'm the account manager for the entire Department of Treasury.
So without naming names, unless you prefer to, names of organizations. Do you find certain organizations better for certain types of agencies? I mean, AFSCME obviously covers, we know, all things DOD, but they also have a fairly large presence in Bethesda, and that definitely folds over into NIH.
Yeah, so one of my college hires that I brought on board to help work a couple of my federal civilian agencies, actually got involved in Young AFSCME with AFSCME of Bethesda. She became the president of Young AFSCME. Well, she just got picked about 6 months ago for a rotational assignment out to L.A., so she's working on one of our CEO priority wins, as a competitive assessment analyst. So she's 3 years out of college, and that Young AFSCME experience was phenomenal. 5 years out of college, excuse me. But that experience and being involved in Young AFSCME was phenomenal for her, field hockey player, figured out how to network really fast. So I'm impressed. Division I field hockey player out of UNC.
Okay.
So, but we have a lot of other people involved in AFSCME at Bethesda. We have AFSCME at DC. You have AFSCME at Fairfax. Each one of them takes a different specialization in a couple of different places. Kent Schneider used to be my boss when he was at Northrop. So, okay. I have a fairly good relationship with the CEO over there.
And, Kent was here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And so Air Force Association has a couple of chapters around here that do some very good things, especially if you're trying to get connected into a couple of areas. INSA, the old SASA.
Yep.
If you're going to go into the Intel community, phenomenal organization. I've been to one of their Baker Award dinners back about 10 years or so ago, and I realized as we were all standing in that inevitable line afterwards that I had three directors of Central Intelligence in front of me and two behind me, and it was kind of like, okay, what part, who doesn't fit in this line?
I love when that happens, though.
Yeah, but all of those different associations, each one of them has really built, I mean, if they're still surviving through all of the budget cutting that you're seeing from all the different companies that are out there, because everybody's sitting there going, now, which ones are we going to pay for, and which ones aren't we? And so if they're still getting a lot of support by the companies, that means there's a good connection still being made.
Yeah, well... You may not have been here then, but we both go back this far. ACT used to be Fujitsu, and one of the original Fujitsu chapters is a firm, and it's still going relatively strong from all I hear. And every month they have their luncheon, probably still down at GW. I haven't been for a while, but it takes on a life of its own. But it does cover that civilian side of the market quite well. And every month they bring in somebody from an agency.
I'm not as familiar with that one. That's one I'm going to have to go double check on.
Association for Federal Information Resource Managers, back when they called them IRMs as opposed to CIOs.
Yeah.
So it does go back a ways.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was one of the original, like one of the first two or three, but it was certainly among the first of the Fujitsu Council. So I'll shoot you a link to that.
Yeah, absolutely, because actually in the civilian marketplace, I've only been doing this for about 4.5 years. 30 years of defense and intel uniquely qualified me to take over the civilian account.
Well, it's marketing warfare, my friend. So they knew you understood that, so now they're putting you on a new front.
Rotational assignments are wonderful.
It's prepping you for bigger and better things. So do you do any of your networking online?
Absolutely. Big presence on LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn more than anything as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm looking for somebody, it's amazing. All I have to do is put on there, what are you currently up to? I'm looking for, and it's amazing, how many of my connections that are in there will jump right in and either volunteer themselves or provide me with links to people who are the kind of people that I'm looking for. So I've really been able to build a tremendous staff working in the Federal and Defense Technologies Division and help my other divisions within the information systems sector find really top-notch people using LinkedIn. I'm not a Facebook person. I'm not an oversharer. All that much.
No, we share a couple of groups, I think, on LinkedIn, and I don't see you posting a great deal, but I know you've been there for a while. So we're going to take a break now, so we can delve into the next subject a little deeper. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500. Back with Ed after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Ed Swallow of Northrop Grumman. Ed runs the BD ops, the capture ops for all of civilian and parts of DOD and IT, health IT. So consequently, you get, I would say, inundated. I want to thank, without naming, your executive assistant, who's a marvelous person to work with. But I'm not going to name her for reasons that may become apparent to those who listen carefully. but you get requests, rumor, innuendo, smoke signal, whatever, you know. Hey, you got any contracts I can be on?
Yeah, that's, you know, the famous one is, we'd really like to schedule a half hour with you so we can tell you all about our capabilities so you can figure out what contracts, you know, we might be able to support you on. It's like, you know, really?
We have five cleared people.
Yes, you know, or the one that got me about 8 or 9 years ago. I had a company come in when I was still doing a lot. Actually, this was 5 years ago, and CISSPs. They come in and they say, we have 9 CISSPs, and I go, we have 1,800, you know. Could you give me a little bit more to work with? No, the problem is, you know, cold emails coming in all the time. You know, my email address is out there. People grab it. I'm on LinkedIn. People grab that. I don't get as many through LinkedIn as I do through just cold emailing.
You can set your filter to restrict what comes through.
So. Yeah, that's why I don't see as many coming through on LinkedIn. you know, I'm looking for somebody that I'm already linked to. If I get somebody that I'm already linked to and they're giving me a referral, you know, and there's somebody that's already given me a good referral, I'm going to pay attention. You know, even if it is a little bit of a fishing expedition. You know, but, you know, if I get somebody that comes in and says, you know, we understand you're going to prime on this contract, I don't have to ask where they figured it out. They read it in FedBizOps or, you know, GovWin or one of those sites, but they figured it out. And here's what we have to offer, and here's why the customer would like to have us on your contract. Now I will at least read the email before deleting it.
Right.
And from that point, I will typically, rather than taking the call myself, because I don't really make teaming decisions. That's done by a capture manager and the line manager responsible for the deal.
Then you ain't giving out their names.
And I don't give their names out, but I will connect them into a partnering program. And we have a very strong small business partnering program within Northrop Grumman. Mm-hmm. And it's right on our supply chain website. You know, you go to the Northrop Grumman website, you click on supply chain, there's a registration and all that kind of stuff, and that gets you registered in there. And then from there, then you want to make the right connections, because if you're not registered in our supply chain system, even if the capture manager wanted to talk to you, we don't know how to get you a non-disclosure agreement, you know, to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. So you got to get registered in there. But the partner program, we also identify if we're having problems with a particular socioeconomic category, or we're having problems in a particular geographic region where we don't have presence, where we don't know the customer that's there very well, we're going to be looking for a partner in that area. And so we go into the registration database and start searching for those, and we'll reach out to them. You know, I can't tell you the number of people who have been surprised when I say, hi, my name is, this is my job over here at Northrop. And noticed that you had registered with us and you had some of this capability. Can you tell me more about it? I can't tell you how many people you can hear in the background, oh, my God, Northrop called.
let's back up to LinkedIn for a second. I know you're able to recruit off LinkedIn. Do you ever vet your partners there?
I don't typically vet my partners there. I will vet individual people that want to link into me. I look at LinkedIn as a personal networking capability. I don't necessarily look for company profiles there. I have a lot of other You know, first of all, we always pull a D&B.
Yeah.
And those kind of sources really help me a lot more when I'm trying to vet a particular company.
Right. Okay. When you're looking at an individual's profile, though, if it is on the bare bones side, does it become like one of the emails you're just going to jettison?
Absolutely. You know, if it's a bare bones profile, I don't get a chance to see who the person is, what their portfolio is, you know, what maybe some of their personal qualifications are. When people send me a request to LinkedIn, I do my homework. You know, first of all, if I recognize the name, you know, it's a whole lot easier. If it's somebody right. that I've met in another context, mm-hmm. it's a whole lot easier. But, you know, cold LinkedIn requests, I probably reject 3/4.
Okay.
You know, and
only 3/4? I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I reject it. But then again, that's because I do a lot of public speaking.
Yeah.
And I interact with a lot of people. So there's a good set of people that are connecting to me. So I add, on an annual basis, 200 to 250 people.
Okay.
So
cool.
And I'm probably rejecting 750, 800.
Okay. Let's take a little bit deeper dive into the partnership program. Let's say, you know, the company goes through the registration process. I don't know when the NDA occurs, but it's going to occur before a talk. But they've identified, they bothered to go out and identify a specific program that may not even be on FBO yet, that, you know, you're going to be one of the usual suspects bidding this bad boy, and they would prefer you. Now, I'm going to preface this. All primes are known as known for spousal abuse when it comes to the partnering and subcontracting routine. Northrop is one of the least egregious in this area, and I'm not saying it because Ed's here. I'm saying it because that's what the market tells me. So, you know, anybody who goes in thinking that, you know, oh boy, we partner with anybody and, you know, gold trains are going to come down the pike, you know, good luck.
I can tell you the best measure of how well you're doing is when you started a bid and you put the bid together and then you actually performed on the contract and now you're coming up on a recompete. How many of those people that you started with are still with you? And more importantly, how many of them, when you say, okay, we're ready to recompete, we think you have value to this customer, we want to sign a teaming agreement for the recompete, how many of them stay with you versus how many go? And I'm very proud within my portfolio, we get very few people jumping ship. And that's because I believe we treat people very, very well.
Also means you pick them well on the front end.
Absolutely. Well, it all starts with picking them so that they fit well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, you know, the capture process and going into the proposal process is a wonderful crucible to figure out whether you've got a cultural fit or not. You know, and you can identify where there's going to be some challenges going down the road. But more importantly, you can really figure out how to make the two sides connect better. And so I really like to see my partners in my proposal room with my team. I want to see them as part of the strategy sessions. So when I go into a black hat, I want to see what are they bringing to the table? Do they understand the customer? Do they understand the competitors? Are they willing to help me figure out what it takes to win in helping to put the win strategy together? If they are, those are the people I want to stick with all the way through to the end.
Okay, cool.
And hopefully there isn't an end.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Just keep winning those recompetes.
Yeah, I just January, I guess, moderated the panel at APMP on the recompete thing, which was a tremendous amount of fun. And how are you guys at recompetes? What's your win rate here?
Our recompete rate is, well, let's put it this way. My bonus is dependent on it being north of 90%, and I'm not complaining about my bonus.
There you go.
That's the simplest way to put it. At the same time, I'm pretty infamous. When I was with SM&A, I helped put a study together called Why Incumbents Lose. I've taken that and adapted it to the Northrop Grumman approach to how we do things. And so I have a standard one-hour session that I give to program teams. I've given it to organizations. Have been very successful in getting people to understand the core mechanisms behind why incumbents actually do things that they think are smart, but actually cause them to lose. And I call them my seven deadly sins of incumbency. And so I've really been taking that throughout the organization. When I was at TASC, we actually went 30 months without losing a recompete.
TASC had a few contracts, too.
Yeah, and I was in one of the four operating units at the time, and I was very successful in getting people to understand what we needed to do to go win. So from January of 2001, well into 2004, we lost one. It was 11-person contract. But then the customer turned around and gave us a sole source for those 11 people to work in another area. So while I had to count it as a loss, I didn't have to count it as people being escorted out the door.
There you go.
And to me, winning recompetes is very personal.
Yes, and it should be. Okay. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. One last time, my guest today is Ed Swallow. Ed is the Vice President of BD for Federal Civilian and certain parts of DOD, Health IT, and part of your gig, part of your passion. I know part of your passion is speaking at a variety of events, particularly those involving education. But you send your people out, especially your small biz liaison folks, out to a variety of events that would help you guys find the companies that you need. So give me some criteria and name a few of your favorites.
So first of all, what we're looking for, you know, in the small, especially in the small business community, what we're looking for is people either with a killer app, you know, a killer customer relationship. They meet a specific socioeconomic zone, the socioeconomic category, or they happen to have a geographic preference, you know, a geographic capability that we don't happen to have. But given that, you know, when you start looking at the socioeconomic categories, you start realizing that there's been a lot of shifts recently. So VA, very worthwhile shift to the service-disabled veteran-owned small business. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are popping up all over the place. We need to find the best ones, the ones that are going to have the legs to run a long time. So we get involved in a lot of the VA events. So my small business, my director of small business and partnerships, John Long, gets out and speaks at a lot of those activities. There's a couple of, he's got a couple of speaking events coming up here pretty soon. We're looking for those. We're looking for HubZone. You know, a lot of HubZones got killed in this last census. That went through. So we're now looking at how do we rebuild the hub zone, because in a lot of cases we had a hub zone that was either a woman-owned or a veteran-owned or something like that. We're not going to kick them off our contract just because they lost their hub zone, because they still give us credit in the other categories that they have.
Right.
So now we got to go find those hub zone people to expand it into. We want to find them that have either a technology edge or a customer understanding edge. You know, just because they have the socioeconomic category, it's not sufficient by itself. So,
If they fill in three of the blanks rather than one of the blanks.
Well, fill in three of the blanks, and they have something other than they're a salary manager. You know, mm-hmm. where all they do is they handle 1099s or W-2s, and that's about it. And all they do is they hand you people. You know, not interested in a body shop. I want somebody that's providing a value add.
Right.
You know, through relationships, through capabilities, you know, through technology that they've developed. And there's a lot of them out there, but it's a wheat and chaff kind of thing. You really have to dig through. That's why, you know, I think I'm somewhat unique in the industry, in that I actually have a small business partnering person in my BD staff. And they act as an in-house account manager for the small businesses that we've selected for partnering. Because small businesses can't afford to have, you know, account management for the customers that they face, and then, oh yeah, every one of the SIs, I need to have somebody in there. So it's John's job to be the internal representative of all those small businesses. So when he sees a need on one of our captures, you know, he reviews all the small business plans, identifies where we might have holes well in advance of when we're, you know, while we're still in capture. And so he'll be the matchmaker inside the company and get the right technologies and the right capabilities. So he's the guy that manages that database for me.
Okay. So the venues are nationwide. Probably a couple Okonos, Hawaii.
I haven't been able to approve any trips for John to get to Hawaii yet.
That's too bad.
The farthest afield he gets is out to Reno. That's where VA had their event the past couple of years. A lot of them are right here in the D.C. metro area. Mm-hmm. There's a really good DOD small business partnering one. NVTC has a good small business committee.
Yep.
And so he goes to a lot of those events. AFSCIA Bethesda actually does a small business partnering event, once a year. So we get involved with that one. There's a couple of others around that he gets involved with. And then, of course, all the OSDBOOs have their own briefing for industries. And while it's a small business briefing for industry, it's a great place to meet the right people. So John goes to a lot of those.
Okay. So. I was on the road a fair amount. I also spoke recently at an AFSCIA Homeland Security thing that had a separate small biz thing down at the Reagan Center. That was a lot of fun. Good crowd, too.
Yeah, John was down at that one. I think we've identified somebody, not for a target that we're going after, but for a target my cyber solutions division is going after, with a small business that seems to have some real promising endpoint security technology that they're developing, the methodology for doing endpoint management. And I remember that one coming out of that Homeland Security gig. Cool. At the Reagan Center.
Well, you never know where they're going to be.
That's right, and that's why you got to be at all of them, to make it work.
It's true, but again, it's great that you have the people, and especially John, that you can send out to a lot of these things. But let's go through the criteria that you might recommend for a small business. They can't go to all of these things. What if you were advising, let's call it a two-year-old firm, so they have a little bit of traction, maybe 15 or so people, mostly techies, but, they want to start networking. They know that it's valuable. What are you going to tell them?
Well, there's two paths. One is if they have a customer, a government customer set, then they need to get into the OSDBOO. The Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Right. They got to get into the OSDBOO, and they've got to make a connection there and find out who the preferred big primes are into that particular area. Because if you really want to grow, there's going to be set asides, but the real way to grow is to also connect with one or more mm-hmm. coattails. And help get into that particular organization, because in today's day and age, a lot of things are going to the big SIs, but then when they come up for a recompete, they're breaking them back apart. Well, if you've been part of that big SI team and now they're going to be breaking it apart, that SI will stand behind you for that small business piece and help you win that as a prime. So you need to be thinking longer term about how you're going to connect with that. Number two, you need to look at a couple of the organizations. So there used to be a Fed SMC conference mm-hmm. that was around. That was a great opportunity.
That's where we met.
Yeah, and that was a great opportunity. They haven't had one recently. I'm hoping that maybe this fall they're going to do another one. The small business events that they do in conjunction with the customer that you're most facing is the one to connect to. The other way to do it is to really invest in account management for a system integrator.
Yeah.
And so where I see some smalls coming in, we have the big partners, the classic, the HPs, the IBM, on the hardware right. software side, the technology side, Cisco, all those. Becoming a certified partner of one of those and having them introduce you through their SI team can be a very effective technique. I've had a couple of really good companies come to me that way, okay. That were introduced to me by my technology partner and said, hey, this is a small business. They really know how to work our technology. They know how to do the install, and they know this customer. And that kind of a referral is worth gold to me, because now I don't have to worry about, okay, can they really get the job done? I've got somebody that says they can, and they're willing to stand behind them because they sell product to them and they've certified them. So that really gives me a tremendous advantage.
Well, it gives you a comfort level, too.
That's oh, yeah.
darn sure. okay, so now they know how to approach the SIs. If you were going to advise them on joining a group, would it be NDIA or would it be, what's the criteria for them here? Because, we've talked about 15, 20 different organizations, all that have tremendous value.
So if they're a small business that's in the IT space, you know, the core IT, the infrastructure mm-hmm. and first layer application layer, and they really want to play in the IT space, NVTC, Small Business Committee, can be very effective. The Business Development, Sales, and Marketing Committee is also a good place to be. So NVTC is good. If they're going to be playing in the defense space, then NDIA gets them two things. Number one, you get the chapter, you know, so you get the geographic coverage, but you also get a couple, which are not as hard to cover, a couple of the divisions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have one that's focused on small business, but they have one on procurement. They have one on legislative information. That's called the LID, the Legislative Information Division. So with one membership, it allows a small business, because the NDIA membership is based on your total federal revenue.
Right.
It's federal revenue.
Okay.
And it's pretty inexpensive, but you can get representation on all the divisions and see what's going on. So not many times can a small business really impact things that are up on the Hill. But the Legislative Information Division, the Small Business Division, will keep you apprised on everything that's going on that could affect your business from an environmental perspective.
Gotcha.
So that can be a very effective one.
Yeah.
And then ACT-IAC, I think, is very important, especially if you want to develop your leadership people. You know, the Voyager program that they have is a tremendous program if you want to get one or two of your key people. I found that when I was at a small business, that was very effective for me. You know, space applications wasn't that big, but getting people involved in that program really showed that person that I was making an investment in them. You know, as a small business, they don't see it that much, mm-hmm. but their connections into their partners in the government was tremendous. You know, AFSEA has a young leaders program that's also very, very effective. And AFSEA can be a good one, especially here in the D.C. metro area, because for fairly little money, you can get connected into a couple of different customer segments.
Right. Cool. Ed, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciated. This is Ed Swallow. You can find him on LinkedIn if you want. If you're going to reach out to him on LinkedIn, offer a context. Do not send the bare bones invitation, and make sure your profile is fleshed out in a way that will attract the right people.
Yeah, so. If it says, you know, because you're a person I trust, I want to link with you. Yeah, that doesn't make it past the delete key.
No, not for me either. Ed, thanks so much for coming in. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio. This is not my day job. If you need help on the marketing side or on LinkedIn, give me a call. You can find me at all over LinkedIn or mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.